you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, June 9th, 2017. Hey, do you feel like you've been on a roller coaster this week? Can I get a testimony? I was thinking, I was telling you this on Monday or Tuesday, Jason, the difference one day would make. Yeah, I think I told you. Monday it was like, what's that book? Charlie's like terrible, rotten, no good, bad, terrible day.
Oh, yeah, or no whoever. Good, rotten, downright, yeah. Whatever, dirty day.
Yeah. Well, it seemed like that was the case Monday, but by Tuesday, things cleared up, things started to fall into place, were great. Then other glitches on Wednesday, and then yesterday again was one of those where, oh, shoot, okay, so it is a hard drive failure, but we can work that through and got other things fixed and dealt with and worked on. And Jim last night and a team helped put up the stage and everything for tomorrow's Ivan Parker gathering. Sure. So we got things set up and cleaned up and polished and all coming together for tomorrow. So if you still want to attend, we can't guarantee there will be seats come Saturday night. Go to our website, greatnewsradio.org, or call in to Karen, and we'll get your seats reserved in advance through tonight. It's $10 open general seating, so come and find your seat. Or if you want to meet Ivan Parker for a special dessert reception, that'll be at 6 p.m. tomorrow. You need to call in advance so we can register and get your seat, which is up close and personal, reserve seating right near the stage, and that's $25. Tomorrow night it'll be $15 at the door. So get your tickets reserved so we can have the right amount of seats and everything prepared for you. And we're excited. He's bringing his son Josh, the singing men. We're opening up with seven songs, and then I think three for sure to back up Ivan. And sometimes he kind of says, come on, guys, do the chorus line. And so 3 to 5, I'm saying, that we'll probably back up Ivan. So it'll be a great evening tomorrow night. The concert officially starts at 7 p.m. We'll have the doors and seating started at 6:30 p.m. So greatnewsradio.org. And quick little shout-out. This was a huge week. You were a part of a number of the things with the newsletter that we put together and some of the planning for next Tuesday's disciple-making class, six classes in a series that we'll be holding over the coming couple months. And I don't know, different activities, but let me do a little shout-out because we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 new teachers in our English conversation class, and then a number of the veterans stayed on for another 6 weeks. But a shout-out to Ping Lin Chong. She's a U of I student that's in language studies, and we were looking for, like, internships or something with the University of Illinois, and we just said, is there anyone available? We got a hold of a couple instructors and a couple people I kind of interviewed. And I said, well, we really don't pay anything, so it's not your typical internship, but if you want the experience and such. And so she came out and has helped. And what's nice with her is she's Chinese. So with the beginners, she can be very fluent with them in Mandarin and yet help the pronunciation and enunciation and oversee some of the other volunteers. But Sharon Fernald signed up. She helped out on Monday and Thursday. Linda Tiarks is helping. Shari Eubank, she helped out. Let's see, Ethan Durst, a very good ping pong player. I'm a good player, and he whips me. But when he plays the Chinese guy that's in the beginner class, he gets whipped. So it's got everything is relative, but he's helping out on Mondays. Jean Boston, she'll be helping out on Mondays. And then Emily Wright, she drove in all the way from Indiana. It's like an hour, hour and 10 minutes. And as we got talking, and she said, oh, yeah, I'll help out every Monday, Thursday. And I said, are you sure? I said, that's kind of a long commitment, drive in, you know, an hour each way. She goes, no, no, I love this, and I'm going to begin going to college, and I'm going to be in language studies, and so this will be really good for me. And then we got talking. She goes, well, you know my dad. And I'm like, no, who's your dad? Well, he's Mr. Wright, the Wright ice cream guy, Mr. Wright punch guy. And I'm like, oh, really? So I'm trying to get him to bring some punch to tomorrow's Ivan Parker gathering. So working that. Oh, and then Donna Erickson also helped and is going to commit whenever she can. So a number of new helpers with our English conversation class, along with some of the veterans, Cindy Wendell and Nancy Miller, Herb Ketchum, Dottie Learman, Kurt Bobson, Deborah Bobson, Renee Mullen, Bonnie Milliken, Scott Klein, Gary Ricketts, Marianne Offenstein, Holly Burns, and then Katie Martin. So, yeah, it's like 26, 27 or so helpers. So thank you, God, for each and every one of them and their unique roles in helping these internationals learn English. But better yet, we pray, planting seeds about God's love and care and compassion. And we're talking about maybe some kind of Bible series in the future. Holly said it's really important, especially with Chinese. You build that relationship. So you get a relationship going. And then they're very open to being invited to church or attending various things. And so we feel after that first 8 weeks and now some point during this next six-week session, we might say, you know, on Thursday afternoons or Thursday at this time or maybe an evening Bible study, we'll hold something to see who will turn out. So, all right. So get your Ivan Parker wristbands by registering at greatnewsradio.org. And then finally, Exodus, we're going to start that a week from today. I've been attending your Sunday messages, and I love how you've prepared these handouts. I've been collecting them and have them all together, so when we go through this with our radio listeners, we'll have a good resource, and I have some good notes, and excited next Friday to start the book of Exodus with y'all. Probably about a year or two commitment, we'll see.
Be a long time, I think, because there's a lot of Exodus.
So we'll probably next Friday do a little intro into the book so you can be maybe reading this weekend or next week what to expect and why it's so important for us to walk through this book together. And then I have the historic first issue, June 2017, of the LST, the Lincoln Square Times, Working Together to Encourage and Inform One Another, June 2017. And I gave Jason some concepts and some text, and I said, work your magic, Jason. This is something that I shouldn't say your magic. What's a better way? We don't work on magic here. Yeah. It's like kind of like there's no such thing as luck or circumstance, God's providence. But through Jason's gift, he's put this into a very colorful newsletter. Right now it's like a two-pager. And it gives some of the highlights of things going on here at Lincoln Square. But our main intent was to encourage the other tenants here and to build relationships and actually to subtly evangelize, if you will, just to love on them, to provide a service, to help there be better channels of communication so that all the tenants here in the mall know what's going on, what are some of the unique events or gatherings. And then Mary Ann, she's going to do a human interest story on one of the people each time. And this month it's on Entesh. And she owns the jewelry shop at the corner. And we might have her in. She was one that I talked about many months back. One of our first broadcasts here is that she had listened to the radio station and heard about this wellness class we were hosting and Dr. Zechariah. And I said, that was right here. That's us. And anyways, and she came in and saw his code. And she's from, I think, Nepal area is actually where she grew up. And some of the unique story of the Ethiopian church or one of the churches that she's attended, more Orthodox from years back, and maybe we'll get her on to share a little of her faith journey. Anyway, so you have Ivan Parker pictured here, the ping pong tournament coming up at the end of the month on June 24th, and some other nice highlights. So that's the Lincoln Square Times, the Great News Radio edition that'll be going out to everyone here in the mall. And I'm excited just to see how God will use this and probably build relationships with these other tenants. So they'll say, now, what's this Christian radio station about? Come on in. Here's a program guide. Yeah. Tune in. So thank you, Jason. I love the color. That's just perfect. Farmer's Market here every Saturday through November 4th, 7 a.m. to noon. All right. Well, lots of other things to talk about. But as you were praying up, you mentioned the importance of the Bible. Us being in the Bible, being influenced by the Bible, reading it each day, allowing it to saturate our mind and hearts, bring conviction, disclose hope. It's that good news message. Point to Jesus and direct our lives. It's that ongoing working manual to help us walk faithfully. And then to know God's heart. God's heart is for all to come to know him. And then the unique role that we get to, I guess, play or be utilized as God would work through us to hopefully influence people to taste, if you will, that fragrance of Christ and then say, you know, why are you the way you are? Why do you seem, through a crisis, have some calm or peace? Or how can you love that person when they just betrayed you or hurt you? And how have you been able to forgive? All those principles that we learn because Jesus loved us, where to model that to others. So You mentioned that, and that kind of triggers in my mind, yep, let's be reading the Bible today, everybody.
Well, I think we do. I mean, the Bible should inform our life, and then our lives should inform people of the Bible and should inform us of our faith. I mean, I hear people say a lot of times, they say, well, my faith informs my life. But your faith life should then inform other people. It should give them, you know, because that, the way you live gives people information and knowledge about the things you believe in, where your hope is, where your treasure is, all those kinds of things. When you drive by somebody's house, you can generally get an idea of that. You know, if they got a classic car in their garage and you see them always working on it and waxing it and that, you know, you get an idea what their treasure is. And so I think that for those of us who say that we follow God, we ought to live as though God is our ultimate treasure. We ought to live as though God is the most important thing that we know. Interesting. We've been doing at our church on Wednesday nights a Bible study on religious liberty. It's done by the ERLC, which is the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. It's been walking through how does the gospel inform our first freedom, and that is the freedom of religion. And so one of the things that they said in the video series was really a fascinating comment. It said, why does there not seem to be a lot of sympathy in the public square for religion anymore? They said that actually, when they polled news and media said they have no problem with religious liberty that happens within the context of a church, within the church building. But their problem began to be when it was religious liberty being exercised in the public square. And so they were okay with church happening inside of church, but when church began to happen outside of church, they didn't quite understand it. And so one of the secular broadcasters that they interviewed said this. They said, we've seen a lot of religious people who don't live religiously. Therefore, we have a whole lot less sympathy than we once had. And so what they were saying is, we see a lot of people who talk about religion who seem to want to exercise their religious liberty, but we don't see them living religiously. We don't see their faith giving us information that they actually are faithful.
Exercised in their day-to-day activities.
Right. And so that immediately has, like in the greater context, you know, media and that saying, hey, you know what? You just want religious liberty because you just want to say you have it, but you don't really live like you're really willing to flex that, willing to use that. You know, it's interesting because I see a lot of people come, I talk to a lot of people, and I'll say to them, you know, politics is so fascinating right now. I mean, you and I talked, I think, the other day on the phone for just a few minutes, and some things popped up that we talked about, because it seems like every day when you get on the computer or you pick up the newspaper, there is more happening than it seems like has ever happened. It just seems like a kind of a mess. And so I keep running across people who are either uber political or say, I don't want to be political at all. You know, there's not kind of a healthy middle ground. And what's interesting is I was thinking about that. I was thinking about what is the role, as we're doing this Bible study, what is the role of politics in our lives, in the lives of a Christian? Well, it's interesting because the word politics comes from the Greek word politikos. And the word politikos means our common life together. So politics, politikos, is what governs our common lives together. So this week I talked to somebody and they said to me, I choose not to be political. And I said, well, do you have electricity, running water? Do you drive on the roads? Do you take advantage of the mail system? They said, well, of course. I said, then you are political, because the nature of politics is the laws that govern our common good. And so in the same way, when we talk about what the Bible commands us to do, to love one another, and we have to look at what are the laws that govern our common good, because there is a religious law there that governs our common good. You know, how we love one another. While we love one another, that's why I think Jesus says that this is the law that kind of trumps all the laws. And I don't use the word trump kind of. but this is, Jesus says, the law that kind of trumps all the other laws, and that's the law of love. Yeah. And so we have to understand that each one of us in some way, shape, or form are political. And we're political because we look after the common good of our brothers and our sisters. We get invested and involved in what is political because we are invested and involved in what is the common good for our brothers and sisters. You know, almost all the things that happen in the world that we detest happen because of misgovernment, mismanagement of people's rights. You know, because the minute you take what I learned in this Bible study, it's just fascinating, is that if you get rid of religious liberty, you get rid of freedom of expression, you get rid of all these kinds of freedoms begin to fall away, because one liberty is a part of and parcel of all the liberties that we experience. So suddenly you don't have any of those things. And we need all those things as the people of God to be able to care for one another. We need to have the freedom, because listen, in a very limited way, government can punish sin, but government can't redeem sin. And so we need government, a shared kind of common good, to restrain evil. But we also need to understand that the church's job then is to redeem, because government can't do that. Right. It's a very limited sense. And so, yes, you know, we're a part of a kingdom, but we're a part of a greater kingdom as Christians, a kingdom with the Lord Jesus Christ at the head, and only he can redeem what people need most, the greatest good, not just a common good, but the greatest good. And that good comes from him and his ability to redeem us from our fallen place, from our sin.
And isn't that part of the primary role of the church, is to proclaim that good news message that Jesus can and does redeem?
Well, sure, it sure is. And so that's, I think, you know, when we talk about religious liberty, I think immediately we want to talk about some of the issues that we see happening. But the greatest issue at stake where religious liberty is concerned is our being muzzled from sharing the good news message. Our being muzzled. You know, what's fascinating is we're going to have the Bible study for next week, and I did a little reading ahead and was looking at some of the material ahead. And it was really fascinating. They just had a recent study that was done. And that recent study says that there is about $230 million that is spread across the United States that is in services that the church offers. And what they were saying is that if the church suddenly were muzzled, or the church was suddenly taken out of the equation, you would lose $230 million a year worth the services that feed, clothe, care for, and love people. And so, kind of how the church feeds into that common good, you would lose that immediately. So I think that the United States in particular, but I also think the world, is not prepared for what would actually happen if the church was no longer a part of what happens in the world, because the church is really a much more crucial piece to that than we even know. And that's in a very human aspect. But again, going back to your point, the bigger one is salvation.
Right.
And being able to save people from sin. And so I think that we need the Bible to inform us about what is our mandate in terms of how we live within government. I mean, Romans 13 is so important. I was thinking the other day, and so, you know, we only have a few minutes left, but it was kind of an interesting thought to me, is, you know, I see a lot of these, and I disagree with them totally. I didn't have it until I was thinking about it. I didn't have a theological reason for why I disagreed with them. I just disagreed with them. But I see a lot of these kind of hashtags, you know, not my president. You know, I disagree with him, so he's not my president. But let me just tell you what. You don't have to like a president or dislike a president. But if I read Romans 13, which says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God," then when you say, "not my president," you're making a theological statement against the sovereignty of God. Because that person is not there by accident. As was any of the kings when we read the Bible, as was any of the rulers, no matter how good or heinous they may have been, they're there because God institutes and places rulers and authorities. And so when you say, "well, that's not my," you're making a theological statement. You're saying God doesn't know what he's doing. And yet God does know exactly what he's doing. It doesn't mean you have to like it. There are a lot of times that God is at work in my life and I don't like what he's doing. That's a very human feeling, because we lack the foresight to see what that's going to do down the road. And so we don't know. God sees all things at one time. And so God looks at this and he says, "well, I have this person here because this is purpose is going to be worked out over here and over here and over here." And we don't, in a very limited sense. We just see kind of the chaos that ensues and go, "this is messed up. God, he doesn't know what he's talking about. God doesn't know what he did. I mean, what's going on?" And yet, God is in charge. He is in control. And so, when we make that comment, we have to realize that in God's sovereignty, he has a plan that's bigger than the plan that we know. And yet, we also have to understand that he instituted government. As broken as it is, he instituted it. And he instituted it for the common good. Now, many of us, make the wrong mistake. And we look to a White House to be able to kind of fix all of our problems, when actually I think the better model and the better mode is that we look to each one of our own houses. Mm-hmm. Because, look, if I'm loving and caring in my home, and then my neighbor is, I'm doing what Hebrews says, prodding them on towards love and good works, stirring them up, and they're doing that, and they're doing that for the neighbor next to, and they're doing that for, you could redeem a whole neighborhood for the glory of God. And in that neighborhood, you could be living and loving and serving one another, neighboring each other in the right way and in the right direction. Our hope can't be in some other place. Obviously, those places help to govern over our nation and that. But the ultimate law that we live beneath, which is the law of love, we institute out of our own homes and hearts.
Yeah. And that exhortation that the biblical is really clear on, to be praying for those in leadership over us. So before you complain or chastise or have a point of view. I mean, you should have a point of view, but are you praying for the president, whether it's President Trump or President Obama or President Clinton or Bush or whoever? You know, there's some people that, no way will I ever follow them. Well, the Bible's pretty clear. At the minimal, be praying for them, and there are authorities put in place by God to keep order.
Yeah. The hand can't say to the foot, you're not a foot, because we're all united in one body. And so therefore, if he makes a statement of faith and says he is in, then obviously we need to say, okay, I want to pray for this brother, I want to do that. Now listen, unfortunately, I think that brother, I wouldn't want that job if you paid me. I mean, I wouldn't want that. You couldn't pay me any amount of money to take the job of president, because all the fallenness and foibles that you and I experience every single day, he lives that out in the public eye. He's in a fishbowl. And so, I mean, I can't imagine the news stories that would be written if somebody could catalog every single thing I screw up every single day. I mean, it would be horrible. And so, of course, you know what? I don't care if you like him, don't like him. You ought to pray for him. And with the things you don't like about him, you ought to pray that those things would change.
Yeah. And all of God's people said, all right, everyone. Hope to see you tomorrow at the Ivan Parker concert. Yeah. Hope that you'll be reading the Word. Get in a good Bible-believing church like the Community Evangelical Free Church of Muhammad on Sunday. And then join us again on Monday and listen all weekend. And we hope you'll be blessed. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
When I'm down and oh, my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burdened me, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. Raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong.